Good morning. We are in the book of Proverbs. We had finished the introductory chapters, and we're now in the shotgun chapters where everything just kind of comes at you scattershot, but we pulling it together in some more topical sermons, pulling together the threads of a topic from Proverbs and pulling it together into hopefully a coherent thought. And this morning, we're talking about listening. We have two ears, the title here, two ears and one mouth. Proverbs chapter 18, taking as our central text, though we'll pull many of them. 18, verse 2, hear then the word of God. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. The word of God. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that is living and true. We come to you this morning. We've come to worship, to give you our hearts, to give you our lives, to give you ourselves again, to hear from you. And Father, we ask that you would speak to us from your word in ways that call us to yourself and change us. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 3 points there in your outline. We're going to talk first about how we should be slow to speak. Have you ever noticed that at times you're in a conversation with someone and you're really only half listening, right? That's because you're waiting for your chance to say what you want to say, right? You're thinking about what you're going to say, not really all that interested in what's being said, but in what I want to say. I'm not really listening, I'm waiting to talk, right? I do it, I find myself, or even I'm like, I can't fully remember what they just said because I was thinking about what I want to say. You ever catch yourself talking at people rather than with people? Really not that interested in listening to what they have to say, but really telling them what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what you're all about, right? You ever spend time with someone and they talk at you? They never really asked you any questions. You go away and you think they never really asked any questions. They didn't really ask about me. They didn't really show any interest in me, any curiosity. You know, I really spent a lot of time listening, which is a service to that person. But there was no real interest in me. You ever listen to someone tell you something about themselves and after they say it, rather than respond to what they say, is say something about yourself, right? Tell your story, go your way, turn the conversation around, right? They were something about them and now it's about me. There's so many ways that we make our interactions about ourselves, right? The ways that we don't listen, the ways that we do not take pleasure in listening, in hearing, right? Only talking. This is what our text said. It says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but he only takes pleasure in expressing his opinion. Right? And so the understanding is parallel to the expressing. Like we take pleasure, the fool takes pleasure. Sometimes we're the fool. Expressing ourselves rather than taking pleasure in understanding, or parallel to that would be listening. We would rather talk than listen. Right? And so there's this contrast between listening to others, gaining understanding, and talking, taking pleasure in our own thoughts, in our own words, in our own ideas, which we love very much. The way of the fool, then, is the preference to talk, to tell, to explain, rather than to listen, to hear, to understand. It's a physiological fact that you and I have two ears and one mouth. And you can ask the question, is God trying to tell us something? Right? And I think he probably is. He's trying to, you got two ears and one mouth. At least that's the, if nothing else, then it's a picture of wisdom, right? Because it's a picture of this, that we should listen more than we talk. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tells us this expressly. He says, know this, understand this, right? That's our wisdom word from Proverbs, know, understand, right? My beloved brothers, let every one of you, not just some of you or a certain personality, but let every single person be quick to hear, two ears, slower to speak, got one mouth. And when we're slower to speak, we're slow to anger. And that anger, the anger of a man or a woman, does not produce the righteousness of God. And those are often tied together. The less listening, the more talking. And the more talking, the more we're quick to anger and other things. Quick to hear, slow to speak. It's a command that we should talk less. and listen more and slow down our talking. He seems to say will keep us from sin. Because when you're quick to speak, he seems indicated, then we're quicker to anger and quicker to unrighteousness. But if we'll slow it down, and we'll see, it will keep us out of a lot of trouble. So talking too quickly is not just about hearing well, which it is, but it can actually foster and encourage sin. Proverbs 17:27 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and whoever has a cool spirit is a man of understanding, right? There are wisdom words again, knowledge and understanding. The one who restrains his word has a cool spirit is a man of knowledge and understanding, right? And this is James, right? He is saying, let's not have a hot spirit, right? Then it says that those, if we're quick to speak, right? He says we're quicker to anger, right? And he's saying we need to not have a hot spirit. We need to have a cool spirit. And this comes if we can restrain our words, if we can step back a little bit from what's going on in my own heart. Cool spirit, not a hot head. A nice word picture. Wisdom is calm. It's patient. It's cool when provoked. And in this particular context, it seems to be the provocation, right? I'm being provoked. And then rather than being quick, he says, be cool. Be patient. Be calm. Not responding quickly or defensively, right? If we will not do that, which is our tendency, isn't it? To respond defensively or quickly, to explain, to, you know, come back at you. If I can hold back from that, he says it allows us time to cool. A soft answer will turn away wrath. We've already heard in Proverbs. You see, our temptation is to respond quickly. We want to clarify. We want to make them understand. We want to show them that they're wrong, right? About me especially, right? We immediately want to explain ourselves, defend ourselves, or counterattack, right? We get hot when wisdom says we should stay cool. Proverbs 10:19 says that when words are many, transgression is not lacking. That's when a person like me who talks a lot for a living, right, is a dangerous place. But when there are a lot of words, when we talk a lot, when we talk more than we listen, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Right? So here again, many words or restraint, wisdom versus transgression. Restrained. Quick words make us vulnerable to sin is what it's telling us. It makes us vulnerable. I mean, it's not always. I mean, But again, these are general ideas. You know, these aren't laws or rules or promises. They're just telling us when words are many and when they're quick, you are vulnerable and prone to sin. Maybe you should slow it down. Slow it down a minute. Consider. Examine what you want to say. Sometimes when I want to say something and I can't get my word in edgewise, you know, so I'm waiting for a minute. If you take a minute and think about what you're going to say, there's a lot of times, you know, just ask yourself, is what I'm about to say helpful? Is it constructive? Is it upbuilding? Should I say this? Is it important? If I didn't say it, what difference would it make? Maybe I shouldn't just say it. Right? If we're just made to pause, right? And somebody else is talking, you know, to shut down even what we're thinking and maybe listen instead. Proverbs 18:13 says, if someone gives an answer before he hears, it's his folly and his shame. It is foolish, some even shameful, to answer too quickly before you've fully heard, fully understood. Marriage counseling, I do a lot of premarital counseling. Whenever I marry someone, I want to counsel them first. And one of the things we do is talk about communication, right? Very important in marriage. And so one of the exercises I do had to do with assertiveness and active listening. Right? So actually, this is part of, you're getting ready to get married, here's something you need to figure out. Number one, assertiveness is being able to tell your spouse things that you want to tell them. Whether it's to express your needs, desires, hurts, pains, you know, whatever, but to be able to tell them, you know, and to not to be able to do that without being afraid. but also just having within yourself the willingness to share the truth with your partner about what you're thinking and feeling. And so I make them make a list, and they each have to make a list of three things that they're going to share with each other that the other one doesn't yet know. Three things you want to tell them. And I say it can be silly and simple because we're doing an exercise, or they can be, you know, real. You can call them out, right? But, you know, so it can be everything from, hey, I wish you massaged my shoulders more often. That'd be nice, you know. Or down to, you know, I wish you'd pick up your clothes and clean up after yourself. To, I wish that you would, you know, I wish you wouldn't talk to me that way. It's very condescending. Or I wish you wouldn't. And you can go down the list of things you might wish for your partner. So I make them make a list, and then I make them tell the other partner, take turns. You tell them the first thing. And the rule is, in on active listening, you cannot respond. You cannot explain. You cannot defend, right? You cannot jump in. I'm asking you not to get mad. It's harder when the pastor's sitting there. But, you know, still, some people seethe inside. You know, they're provoked. Sometimes our spouse tells us something, or somebody in our life or child, somebody tells you something, we can be provoked. But I make them, instead of responding, I make them insert the phrase, what I hear you saying is, right? So before you respond, and this is something I use in my life to this very day. I've been teaching this for decades, and I use it. When I'm prone to say something or whatever, you know, in the moment, often I will insert something to step me back from my response, to explain or defend or to turn around or to whatever, you know, to say, what I hear you saying is this, right? In other words, I give back to them. I try to listen. Is this what you said? Sometimes they're like, no, you're not hearing me. That's helpful. Sometimes I find halfway through a conversation, I'm responding to something they didn't say. I'm like, oh, I thought you were talking about X, Y, Z. You're right. So it is good to understand, to actively listen. Sometimes giving it back to them, they hear what they're saying from me, and they think better of it, right? And that's helpful. Rather than responding or getting mad, they're like, wait. You know, or however it is, but what it does, it just puts a step between responding, being angry, explaining, defending, attacking. What I hear you saying is this, and that makes me feel like this, right? And it has a conversation rather than a fight, maybe. See, if we've not listened well, right, this is the act, just training, that's part of marital training, is to teach people to listen to each other, to hear, fully hear what's being said before we think we know and respond. We ask enough questions. You know, part of the problem is we have not doubted ourselves enough, doubted our thoughts and our feelings enough. We take more pleasure in expressing ourselves than we do in listening and trying to understand what they're trying to tell me. And very often what you're trying to tell me, I need to hear. If I respond too quickly, I don't hear it. It's foolish and shameful, he says, to not entertain the possible validity of what the person is saying, or to understand, take the time to fully understand what they're saying, or why they're saying it, or where it's coming from. And maybe that they're right, and I need to just step back and fully hear. You know, if you think about it, there's no real advantage to responding, speaking quickly. And now if you're on Jeopardy, okay, you know, I get it, but we're not, are we? Right? So just think about it. What is the advantage of speaking quickly? I can't think of one. I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I don't think there really is one. But what is lost? What is lost if we learn to pause for a minute, ask what they're saying, even if we didn't like it, especially. Like if you didn't like what they said, you should say, what I hear you saying is, and like lay it out there, right? Especially then, step back from it to listen, to understand, reflect for a moment, weigh the importance, right? The purpose of my words and what comes next. Because we talked about a couple of weeks ago, from the power of life and death is in our mouths and in our words. And so many of our fights and conflicts and the issues go on because we're not listening. We are talking more than we are listening. So let's talk about listening. We should be quick to hear. That's number two there, right? There is wisdom in listening. It's what the scripture is telling us. God is telling us. Speaking less, speaking less quickly, learning the pleasure of fully hearing, right? That is, that the fool takes no pleasure in understanding, right? He only takes pleasure in expressing his opinion, right? So he's taking pleasure in the wrong thing is what it seems to be saying, right? He's taking pleasure in telling you what I think, telling you how I feel, right? That's where my pleasure is. That's where I get my, and he's saying, scripture is saying, this is foolish. Right, the fool does that. We're taking pleasure. We should take pleasure in understanding. Because in understanding, I learn and I grow, right? That's the whole point of the book of Proverbs. Listening and hearing wisdom and understanding and knowledge, right? If a person takes pleasure in understanding and hearing the other person. But when we are in love with our own thoughts and ideas, our own feelings and our rights to express them, we lose the opportunity to learn from other people. Proverbs 18:15 says this, an intelligent heart, smart heart, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge, right? The intelligent, and notice again the parallel, the heart and the ear, right? So the heart of the intelligent person acquires knowledge. How does he do it? The ear listens. It seeks knowledge by closing its own mouth and listening. Listening to what's being told so we understand. Listening is how we learn and grow. It's how we get along. It's how we know each other. It's how we love and care for people if they're well heard. And so we can ask the question of ourselves, just a simple question. As you walk away from a conversation, you might start asking yourself this question. Did you spend as much time listening as you spent talking? I'm not saying there's never a time to, you know, dump on your friend, right? And your friend is going to take that and there's a play. I'm not saying that. But generally speaking in life, it's a good question to say, did I listen as much? Did I show an interest in the other person? Was I curious about them? Did I care about them? Did I told my story. Did I ask about their story? Right? I told, you know, did I listen? Prayer of St. Francis, at least it's associated with him or attributed to him. I don't think we really know, but in history, he has this prayer, and he says, in part, it goes like this. He says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand, right? Help me that I may not so much seek to be loved as to love. In other words, Lord, help me not be so self-centered. Help me to be centered on the other. Help me not be so obsessed with everybody understanding me, explaining my stuff, hearing me, telling me, right? Help me to be more seeking to understand them, to hear them, right, to care about them, to love them, and not just be loved. Proverbs 18:13 says this, if anyone gives an answer, we heard this a minute ago, before he hears, it's his folly and his shame. We have to make sure that we've heard well, to not immediately defend, to assume we know what they're going to say, right, to stop listening. Because if we don't hear what they're trying to tell us, we're the ones who lose. The relationship loses. I lose. Right? I may not agree with what they're trying to tell me. Maybe they're trying to tell me something about me. But I will not gain from it if I don't hear it. Even if I disagree with it, I can step back and say, what I hear you saying is, you think I'm being condescending. Right? I may not like it. That may hurt a little bit, stings. I'm provoked a little bit. Right? But am I so arrogant that they may not be right? Maybe I am. Maybe I need to look at my, just to step back and to say, I hear you saying this. Is that what you think? So they say, yeah, you know, you really need to. My place is going to be, well, then let me look at that. I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to look at that. Maybe I can see it. Maybe you're right. Right in the moment, I can say, you're right. I am so sorry. Or maybe I need to go and pray about it and we'll talk about it again. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to do that. I want to be better. But we have to hear. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue, guards them, keeps himself out of trouble. Ain't that the truth? Right? I mean, everybody knows the truth of that one, like right off the bat. Yep. He who guards his mouth a little bit, a little slower in saying stuff, right? Given that words are like toothpaste, and once they're out, not going back, right? And given words are like toothpaste, you know, we can avoid a lot of trouble if I was a little more restrained and thoughtful before those things come out. I find the less that I say, the less trouble I get into. If I pause long enough to figure out whether they're fighting words or hurtful words, you know, maybe those are hurtful. I mean, how are they going to hear it? How are they going to hear it if I say that? Right? They're hurtful words or they're self-centered words. It's just about me. It really isn't even, you know, or they're just unwise words. They don't need to be said. Why am I saying them, right? There are many things that simply do not need to be said. Let me just say a final thought on listening, and I'll move into the final piece, the final point. But the final thought on the wisdom of listening is involved when we're in a larger dispute or larger conversation. So a lot of times it's not just me and you. It's me and you talking about her, right? Or me and you talking about him, right? And things that are being said. That happens. I know it does. When we involve other people, Proverbs 18:17 says this, "He who states his case first seems right until the other guy comes and examines him." So the other guy comes and tells his side of the story. Right? The modern parable for this is, the modern proverb is, there are two sides to every story. Right? That's what the Bible is saying. And it is absolutely 100% true. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard a tale of woe. I have heard somebody tell me all about what's happened and what this other person did and what this other person is like. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am indignant on your behalf. I can't believe them. This is unbelievable. And then I go and talk to that person and I find out the first person left out a whole lot of details. Most of them concern themselves. Right, and that there's a lot more going on here, and it's not all this other person, you know, being the devil, right? There was something else going on, right? There were two sides to this, and it's a lot more complicated than the person made it sound like. So many details are omitted. This first story is radically slanted. The one who speaks first always seems right. That is a fundamental, that's almost a law, because you only heard their side. And this is, you know, if we especially like the person, it's your friend or your family member or somebody who's telling you this other person and this is what happened and telling you. If we like the person, we just believe they're truthful. And whatever they're saying is gospel truth. And so we're offended for them. I'm offended at that person that they would do that to you, right? We're just, we take up for somebody because we heard their story and we're offended. But wisdom warns, even if you like the person, it warns caution here. Before you judge and condemn somebody else, and you assume you know enough to make the judgment, our legal system guarantees that you have a day in court, an opportunity to answer the accusations, right? That whatever they have said about you, you get a chance to tell your side. That's the law. Right? You don't just get to say, well, the first person spoke and you're bad. Right? The second person gets to come and make a defense. It's just right. John 7:51, Jesus says, does our law judge a man without giving him a hearing and learning what he does, his side of the story? Even back then, in the Jewish law at the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, even then, you got your day in court. I'm just warning, and you know, I guess a lot of this, right? The one who states his case first seems right, and the temptation is to take sides and become indignant or take up for someone and have this view of somebody else has been broken, and we don't know the whole story. We never do unless we have a chance. And so I just say, I've always appreciated when someone comes to me, stuff gets said, right? I'm in public ministry. I've been here for 30 years almost, right? And people say stuff in ministry and in relationship, or things come out of my mouth and you're like, did he just say? Right? And I appreciate if someone would come to me, if they're troubled by something they heard me say or troubled by something they heard about me, to come and give me a chance to give my side and to say, you know, you at least have both sides. I may still come out terrible, but at least you got both sides. Anyway, listening, right? Listening well includes, you know, as relationships get complicated. So let's talk about then, we've talked about one mouth, two ears, you know, slowing down, speak less, listen more. But where do we learn this slowness? And your last point there is we learn this slowness before God. Right? We saw in James 3, verse 8, some weeks ago, that no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. That's part of a longer, rich passage, but that's the gist of it. Right? The tongue is out of control. Most of us recognize that from time to time, at least. And so this is another facet of taming. And again, we can learn techniques that will help us, you know. The biblical goal here, you know, there are some things that will help us. You can do that exercise, active listening. What I hear you saying is, that's helpful. But I can tell you that it's not going to change our hearts. And there'll be times we're going to fail. We're not going to do it well. Because I'm using a technique, my heart has not really changed. I'm still pretty self-centered, right? I'm still pretty all about me. And that hasn't changed, and that's what needs to change, right? The biblical goal is heart change, right? Really, what we're talking about here is the overall general reality that we need to die to ourselves in order to love others, right? This is at the heart of the Christian faith. At the beginning, we were created, and we were God-centered, and so we loved our neighbors well, and we didn't think about ourselves quite as much, right? This is before the fall. And then in the fall, what happened, instead of being God-centered, I became me-centered, and I stopped loving other people so well, right? And now I'm me-centered, and a lot of sanctification is God is delivering me from my me-centeredness so that I can be God-centered to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul. And then I can love my neighbor as myself because I already love myself too much. And if I can love you at least that much, I'll give you a fair hearing, right? I'll listen because I want to be listened to. Right, and so it is being delivered from our selfishness. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and die to yourselves in order to follow me. Right, follow him first and love others. So these are the great commandments. Right, and so the causes behind a quick tongue, right, is pride and self-centeredness. And this is just the truth of it. It's our fallen nature, our pride, our self-centeredness, that we're impatient, we get angry. These are all heart issues. The biblical solution then is to deepen our hearts, right, in the presence of God, right, to be increasingly free from ourself. We cannot free ourselves from ourselves. Only that gracious presence of God, where we come out of ourselves to worship him, to know him, and to love him, and where we allow him to have that work in us. As we are with him, we do what we talked about a couple weeks ago, what we called heart work. Proverbs 18:4 says this, the words of a man, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Right? There's an image here of a spring-fed stream, right? The words of a man, they're deep waters. The deep waters are, you know, a mountain spring. The waters are, you know, underground lake somewhere down there or a river and it flows up. And it flows up out of the depths and it flows down the mountain in a babbling brook. And the words of a wise man are that babbling brook, but they rise from the deep places. Right? And that's what they're saying. Our words come from those deep places. And that is what needs to change. Because right? A lot of time we'll make an effort and then we'll say, you know what, I'm going to talk to her nice next time. Right? And I told you before, if you say, you decide, oh, I failed over here and I'm going to do better next time. I told you, unless you do something between now and next time, you're going to do it again next time. Right? Unless something changes in us, about us, even if we pull it off. I tell people, a lot of my counseling people come and it'll say, you know, he changes for like a week or two, and then it's the same old, right? Why? Well, because we rearranged the furniture, right? We learned a technique or two, but nothing has fundamentally changed. I'm still as self-centered and self-righteous and and judgmental as I was before. And unless something changes here, then ultimately I'm not going to have a babbling brook of wisdom. Words that are restrained and gracious flow from deeper waters, from spiritual depths. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says this, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Right? The purposes of a man's heart are deep water. In other words, the purpose is, what I'm all about is down in here, right? And Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all else, and no one can know it. Right? And he's saying, and our purposes are down in there. And so a lot of times we don't even realize it, but we're being very self-centered, self-focused, self-promoting, self-aggrandizing, right? And all the different ways that we're just all about us rather than about other people. And so even the purpose of my words, I have to draw them out. Why did I say that? What was my purpose in saying that? Why did I feel the need to tell that story? Right? Why did I feel the need to say that about, you know, to correct or to whatever? Why did I respond so quickly? Why did I get angry? Why did I get, you know, defensive? Why did I feel like I needed to explain and explain? Right? What is going on inside of me? The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters. But a man of wisdom begins to have self-awareness. What is going on? We tend to be self-centered, but not self-aware. Self-awareness is a great gift to understand ourselves and to know what's going on in our hearts and why we're doing what we're doing, right? That self-awareness, it comes from other people, right? Faithful, Proverbs says, are the wounds of a friend who will tell you what you need to hear, right? Give you self-awareness, right? A lot of people see it, they see it, but a friend will tell you. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, and faithful are the wounds of God to give us that self-awareness about all of this. A man of understanding, why am I so defensive? Why am I talking so much? Why am I getting angry? Why am I so full of myself? To be self-aware is a way that we become free from ourselves. Right? So I'm talking about heart work. Because I believe absolutely, a lot of times we think in our spiritual lives, you know, we make these plans and these programs and I'm going to do better and I'm going to do this and this and I'm going to, oh, I see this and so I'm going to do better next time and I'm going to change my life. Like we do a lot of this out here, spiritual, you know, and we think it's spiritual growth. But I'm convinced of this, that real, that's, I believe a lot of that is just rearranging the furniture, you know, using techniques and using things to try to come across better, try to be. But I believe that real spiritual change, right? Our spiritual lives are formed and actually those victories to do better and to do different next time, that formation and those victories, I believe, are won in private dealings with God, in our communion with God, when we're alone. And it's there that I find the victory and the change and the depth to respond different the next time, right? There's a change that has to take place. It's dealing with God. You know, so there's several wisdom books. We're going to jump to Psalms, which is a wisdom book. It says 46:10, be still and know that I am God. No, that's a wisdom word, to know knowledge of God. How do we get knowledge of God? He says one way, it is be still. Otherwise, we lose that sense of God in our communication and everywhere else. Be still and know that I am God. But the fine art of being still in the presence of God has almost been lost in the church, in the world, but in the church, right? It was bad enough when we had TV and radio, but at least they were largely stationary. You know, you didn't take them with you everywhere you went, like even in the bathroom. You know, at least you had 2 minutes of quiet in there. Not anymore. I don't know that I go to the bathroom without my phone, right? I mean, where do we go? I'm sorry, I'm being like dishonest. I mean, tell me you don't bring it with you, right? You bring it with you everywhere. It goes everywhere. You're never apart. You're standing in line at the bank, you're on your phone. You're sitting waiting in the doctor's office, you're on your phone. You're sitting in the bathroom, you're on the phone, right? Where are you not doing something else and there's a space and we fill it, right? There's just no quiet. See, but if our hearts are fragmented and busy like this, never resting, never still, never knowing, right? If our hearts are fragmented and busy, then the responses of our tongue come from shallow, superficial waters. It's just where they come from. There's nowhere else to come from. We haven't cultivated depth. Spiritual waters of a heart deepen when we disconnect from everything else and give our attention to God, right? To Him. Right? Psalm 4:4 says, when you're on your beds, search your hearts. Be silent. What do you do when you go to bed? Honest. You pick it up. You're scrolling, checking Facebook, right? You're doing something. Very few of us are on our beds being quiet, reflecting on our words that day. Why did I get so angry? Why did they get so mad at me? What did I say? What could I have done better? Oh, Lord, I see it now. Right? Forgive me that I said that. Forgive me. I could see how that was hurtful. Forgive me and help me, Lord. I don't want to say those kind of things. I want to be a different man, a different woman. Would you, by your grace, forgive this and cleanse it, right? Enable me, empower me to be different the next time, right? That work, that's called heart work, right? That is doing business with God, the only one who can change our hearts, the only one who can shape the deep waters, the only one who can forgive and cleanse and empower and do the things that we need, right? And that is what we no longer have the fine art of doing. Spending time with God, saying, search me and know me and see if there's a wicked way in me. How did that go so wrong today? What was my part? Where do I need to repent? Where do I need to go and ask forgiveness? What can you, Lord, do in my life? I want to be a different person, right? Heart work, Ephesians 5, Ecclesiastes 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God to draw near. To listen, because it is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, which seems to be the opposite of listening, but our text, which is we love to express ourselves, right? We go to God to tell him, to express to him, to ask of him, you know, and to do whatever. But he says, when you come to draw near, to listen is better than the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know that what they're doing is evil. In other words, they're not self-aware because they're not quiet. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty. See it again, your mouth and your heart, rash and hasty. Don't let your mouth or your heart be hasty, and they together, right, to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Talk less. Listen more. Search me and know me. Open his word. Read his word. Let it convict you. Let it comfort you. Let it call you. Let it challenge you. Let it, God, I want to be that man. And then praying it into my life, Lord, help me to be that man. Forgive me where I'm not that man. When I'm reading it here, you know, and help me to be different, right? That heart work where we're listening to God and then talking to God, but listening more than we're talking. We learn restraint when we're quiet and still, and we find that center of quiet, that place where God is with us. We learn to deny ourselves. We learn to repent of ourselves, right? And where do we repent ourselves? Where are you repenting of you regularly? You need to find the space to do that in your life, or you'll always be full of you, because that's our problem. And we need to be less full of ourselves, more full of the Spirit. Where does that happen? In the heart work with God. See, the cause, the core of our sins and the human fallenness is pride and self-love that's manifested. Even if our issues are slow self-esteem, it is still pride and self-love. It's still about me and not about God and not about others. It results in a radical self-centeredness. We want to talk more than we listen. We want to be understood more than we want to understand. We want to defend ourselves rather than hear their concern. We want to promote ourselves rather than celebrate other people. And the only way to be delivered from ourselves is to get into the presence of God with it and wrestle with him over it and seek from him what only he can do. I'll leave you with Luke 5:16. Jesus, it says about Jesus that he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And it's there the idea is a continuing action. He would do this regularly. It was the practice of Jesus, who was the Son of God himself. He still withdrew, disconnected, set it down, put it aside, turned it off, and went to a desolate place, a quiet place, a place of stillness. To do what? Wrestle with God. Talk to him. Be with him. Right? Because that is the source of the spiritual life. I think I said 2 weeks ago, right? I tell people the secret of being more like Jesus is Jesus. But you're going to have to get around him a little bit, right? You're going to have to be with him and wrestle with him and seek from him. He says, knock and seek and ask. And those are the things he will be doing in our lives if we're doing this heart work over the things that are in our life where I'm falling short, where I'm not who I want to be, where he wants me to be. Do you have a solitary place, a fixed time where you can unplug? You know, it doesn't have to be all the time, but, you know, doing a devotional and checking it off our list is fine. But somewhere, there's got to be that space to linger with God, right? And do heart work. Are you deepening your heart in his presence? Becoming more self-aware, sin-aware? Letting him tell you about you? Letting him lay bare your self-centeredness and your pride so that you're finding freedom. Freedom to love him better and to love others by listening well. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. The truth of it is undeniable in my own heart as I read it and as I see it. Father, and we want it, but all of us here, there's not one of us. In fact, your word tells us no one has not stumbled in the tongue. Father, we know that we cannot tame it, and yet we long for it to be tame and in your service and in the service of others. So, Lord, have mercy on us and help us to hear the truth of your word, to draw near to you, to learn to listen and to wrestle with our failings that we may find grace to be different. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.